you would please turn in your Bibles to Haggai chapter 2, verse 20. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother." This portion of the prophecy predicts the overthrow of all kingdoms, the shaking of the heavens and the earth had already been alluded to earlier in the second prophecy of Haggai, recorded in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. And the desire of the nation shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." And we've already established that prophecy, that time frame is clearly the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second coming, when He comes back to the earth a second time to conquer His enemies and to establish His millennial kingdom, His thousand-year reign upon the earth. The second advent of the Lord Jesus is associated with a series of cataclysmic events that will occur in the heavens, on the earth, and in the seas. And as noted previously in our study, Matthew 24 and Zechariah 14 describe what will happen when Jesus comes to the earth a second time. Let's look at that briefly. Look at Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4. "And His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." Now, this is significant because when Jesus ascended back into heaven, the angels told the disciples that were looking up that He was going to come back in like manner. And He actually is going to come back to the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. "And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." That gives you the time frame when this is happening. Jesus is coming back with the saints to the earth at the second advent, His second coming back to the earth. I believe it's also alluded to the events in the heavens, Matthew chapter 24. And mind you, these things have not occurred any time in human history. These specific prophecies, they are yet future. Now, Matthew 24, I don't know how in the world you can't see this. It says, it gives you the time immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then, immediately after, "and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I believe those tribes are going to be saved when they see the one whom they have pierced. But again, these are time words about this prophecy when the shaking of the heavens and the earth and the seas, when it's going to happen. Now, that verse 29 and 30 of Matthew 24 did not happen in 70 A.D. That was not fulfilled in 70 A.D. as a preterist charge. Now, none of these events happen in the first coming of Christ. When Jesus came the first time, there is no sense in which He overthrew the throne of kingdoms. Nor did He destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the earth. He did not overthrow the earthly weapons of the Roman Empire. However, in His second advent, Jesus is coming to establish His earthly rule and reign. Now, He did destroy Satan and the kingdom of darkness in the sense that He defeated him. And I believe that with all my heart. But when you read the prophecy of Haggai and you read the violence that's going to be executed against the enemies of God in Revelation 19, this is referring to a military conquering by Jesus Christ. And I believe it's going to be a literal event. Now, in the second advent, He's coming to establish His earthly rule and reign. And this event was prophesied by Daniel as well. And you're going to find that it impacts all the kingdoms of the earth. Turn back to Daniel chapter 2. There are two major passages in Daniel that talk about Christ defeating all the heathen kingdoms and bringing them under His dominion, His rule, His reign. And I believe it's going to be a theocracy. It will be political. It will be, in a sense, militarily. He's going to defeat them and He's going to rule. Daniel, I passed him up here. Chapter 2, verse 34. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. This goes right along with Haggai's prophecy. The overthrow of all kingdoms, all heathen kingdoms. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away that no place was found for them. Why? Because King Jesus is reigning. There is no room for any earthly kingdom now. When Christ comes. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That is Jesus Christ. His glory is going to fill the whole earth when He comes in a second time. Look at verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. By the way, this is the only kingdom ever that is not subject to destruction. Every earthly kingdom has fallen. Every political system has failed. Why? Because it has men as its leaders, depraved, wicked men. It has the God of this world mingling in with those men. But when Jesus comes, this is a kingdom that will be perpetual, that will never, ever be destroyed. Even on through the eternal ages, in the new heaven and the new earth. Now, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces, same language as Haggai, and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. You know, we need to get back to believing that all prophecy is certain to be fulfilled. We don't have to spiritualize this away. The king's coming. He's going to overthrow all earthly kingdoms, put down all heathen rulers, including the United States. We got heathen rulers. He's going to put them down. Now look at chapter 7 and verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given, to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey Him. I love that little portion there where it says that the kingdom is going to be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. We're going to rule and reign with Him. All heathen Gentile kingdoms will be overthrown by the power and the personal presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come to reign with His saints. Included in this destruction of the heathen kingdom, the weapons of war owned and operated by the heathen will be no match for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will but speak the word, and they will be destroyed, and His enemies will be defeated. Everybody is so shook up. Will Russia use the nuclear bomb? Is climate change going to burn up the earth? How can we save the planet? Forget about all that. The King's coming. The King is coming. And you don't need to worry about all the other things. He's going to make it all right in His time. He is going to fulfill the purpose for this earth. And it's going to be powerful. Look over there at Revelation chapter 19. Chapter 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. That's Jesus. And in righteousness He doth judge. And notice the military language. And make war. Exactly as was prophesied by Haggai the prophet in 520 BC. In His eyes, or His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. John, the Spirit of God moved him to write that title, that name for Jesus, in John 1:1 and here in Revelation. And the armies which were in heaven... Who are those armies? That's the saints of God who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who are fresh off the judgment seat of Christ with their rewards, coming back to reign in the millennial kingdom. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations. The language! Same as is used in Haggai. These are puzzle pieces. They fit together. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I like the summary statement of Duane Lindsay in the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Zerubbabel learned from Haggai that God would overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of foreign kingdoms. This is reminiscent of the destruction of Gentile world powers represented in the great image in Daniel 2. There, the worldwide messianic kingdom will replace the Gentile kingdoms. The overthrowing of chariots and the fall of horses and their riders indicate that this change in world government will be military as well as political. In the confusion of the great battle of Armageddon, Revelation 16, at the Lord's second coming, Revelation 19, many a man will turn the sword against his own brother, just like Haggai predicted and Zechariah also spoke of. Now, just a word to kind of leave us. I want to tie this up. I believe these prophecies. I believe they're literally going to take place. Now, for many, these prophecies by Haggai and Daniel seem to be too extraordinary for a little literal fulfillment. Perhaps the reason why those of the amillennial persuasion can't accept a literal interpretation is because all they've ever known are corrupt governments run by wicked men ever since the fall. Maybe they think it's too hard for the Lord to overcome, defeat, and destroy all the political and military devices of sinful man throughout the nations of the earth. It is a feat that's just too hard to believe. And they spiritualize these passages to mean something, and really, there's no uniform code. It's really left up to the allegorizer. But let me assure you that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. The most extraordinary prophecies regarding Christ were literally fulfilled in the first advent. And there is no reason why we should doubt the literal fulfillment of these prophecies relating to the second advent and to God's purpose with the nation of Israel. I look forward to the days of peace, joy, worship, and spirituality that will characterize Christ's millennial reign upon the earth with His saints. And I long for the day when King Jesus will topple all the kingdoms and thrones of crooked and corrupt men. I will be singing when He judges the great whore of Babylon. I'm going to be singing with the other saints of God, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And when God overthrows all the corrupt governments of the world, I'm going to be saying, hallelujah! For the great judgment has come upon the nations of the earth. That's what they deserve. For their corruption, their greed, their cruelty, their violence, and their hatred. There's coming a day of adjustment for this earth. Well, next week, we're probably going to finish. The chosen king is coming. The last verse of Haggai.